We'll be looking at Genesis 47 today, verses 13 through 26. In this passage today, we're allowed to witness how the Lord used Joseph to prevent a nation from descending into starvation and anarchy. We get to see Joseph use all the skills that the Lord has developed in his life. Genesis 42 through Genesis 47:12 is a parenthesis passage. As we pick up the story of Joseph today, we see that the verses we have read are a recap of Genesis 41 verses 53 through 57. In that passage, the people are hungry and they come to Joseph for help. His advice to them is clear. What he says to them, do. Pharaoh says to the people, go on to Joseph. What he says to you, do. That is what the people did, and they survived that famine as a result. The people were brought to the end of themselves and of their own resources. The people are brought to the end of themselves and of their own resources. They turned to Joseph because they knew that there was no future apart from him. What Joseph did was to take steps to save the nation. He took steps to bring everything in Egypt under the authority of the throne. You can see this played out in these verses. First, Joseph took control of their purses, of their money. Joseph took control of all the money in the land. All of the people were placed on the same level. There was no longer rich people and poor people. They were just people. Every dime was brought under the control of the throne. You see in verses 13 and 14. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very great, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in Egypt. Joseph took control of all the money in the land. All of the people were placed, as I said, on the same level. That is where our money needs to be as well. We should strive to bring every cent we possess under the control of the Lord. Let him use it in his work as he sees fit. Joseph brings all the money under the control of the throne. Next, Joseph took control of all their possessions. When the money ran out, the people traded their livestock and their possessions for food. Everything they possessed was brought under the control of the throne. Once again, the money of the people is brought under the control of the throne. Now we see that the possessions are brought under the control of the throne. I have a question. Shouldn't the same thing be true in our lives? Everything we have should be dedicated to the glory of the Lord. If you possess anything that cannot be dedicated to the Lord to be used for His glory, it has no place in your life. Joseph also took control of the possession of their property. When their money was exhausted and their possessions were all gone, they gave Joseph their land. He brought that under the control of the throne. You see where I'm going with this? Everything that the people had, the people that lived in the land, was taken under the control of the throne. Again, everything that we possess should be relinquished to God for Him to use as He sees fit. After all, it all came from Him. Anyway, what does it say in James? That every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything, brothers and sisters, belongs to the Lord already. Joseph took also control of their persons. We see that in verse 19 and verse 21. Wherefore shall we die before thy eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants. Everything, brothers and sisters, belong to the Lord. We need to consider ourself. Sometimes we're able to give the Lord everything that we own, but we keep ourselves back for our own use. We can give him money, property, and a host of other things, but we keep ourselves back for his own use. He would have us surrender the totality of ourselves on the altar for his glory. In Romans 12, it says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. For he has bought us. He has purchased us for a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 tells us what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Brothers and sisters, we are not our own. We have to give him everything. Not just money and possessions and everything else, but ourselves. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. We have been purchased with a price, brothers and sisters. We have to give it all to the one that sits on the throne. Joseph moved the people also in the country and other outlying areas and brought them into the cities where work and food distribution could be more easily managed. Just a reminder. But you and I really have no say in where we go and what we do. We belong to him, and he chooses where we serve, how long we serve, and what we will do. He is the Lord of his people. James 4, verse 15 tells us, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We belong to the Lord. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. Joseph also took control of their production. At the end of the famine, everything in Egypt was under the control of the throne. Joseph was in absolute over everything. He was absolute over everything and over every person in the land of Egypt. Remember this. Joseph graciously, brothers and sisters, it is all of grace. He graciously gave the people seed to sow in the land and allowed them to keep 80% of everything they raised. Everything they produced was subject to a 20% tax. That is what Joseph did to be sure there was grain during the famine. And this is what he did to ensure that the people would succeed after the famine. Everything Egypt produced was brought under the authority of the throne. Once again, brothers and sisters, we have to realize spiritually everything is under the authority of the throne. Not only spiritually, but physically. Nothing belongs to us. But we're of the mentality here in the West that we have freedom to do with whatever we want. God doesn't ask his people to give him 20%. He doesn't even ask us to give him 10%. He graciously asks us to give him 100% of everything we have. This is the point I'm trying to make. Everything belongs to the Lord. And when we do, he will show us how much of that 100% that he wants us invested in his work and how much of that 100% that we can keep for our own use. Our checkbooks and our lives need to be brought under his control. Some people criticize Joseph for his tactics in these verses. They see him creating a feudal system where everything is controlled by a central power. And spiritually, that is the case. Everything is controlled by God Almighty. No one owns land, no one owns houses, and no one can get ahead in a system like that. Some people have a hard time believing that he instituted a 20% income tax on the people. The people of Egypt, though, they did not criticize Joseph. In fact, they credited him with saving their lives. Brothers and sisters, this is what we have lost sight of. That God has saved us. And verse 25 of our text, and they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Can you see the beauty of that text? The graciousness, "Thou has saved our lives," just as Jesus Christ has done. He saved us our lives. "Let us find grace in the sight of the Lord," which we have, "and we will be Pharaoh's servants." We will be Pharaoh's servants. Brothers and sisters, we are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't own anything. We certainly don't own our own bodies. They belong to the Lord. He has purchased us with his precious blood. In the passage today, Joseph is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same advice that Pharaoh gave to Egypt regarding Joseph was given to us regarding Jesus Christ. What did Christ's mother say? His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." That was at the wedding feast where he turned the water into wine. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." That is to be our disposition, brothers and sisters. Whatever Christ has said unto you, then do it. We fight so often, especially here in the West. We have freedom, and we take that freedom and we abuse it. We think that somehow that something belongs to us. "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." In Egypt, Joseph's desire was to bring everything under his control. He knew that unless he could consolidate power in Egypt, the country would tear itself apart when the famine came. He knew the rich would oppress the poor. He knew the nation would be ripped to pieces by rebellion, revolution, and upheaval. And to stop this from happening, Joseph took control of everything and brought it under his authority. Unless everything is under the Lord's authority, there will be rebellion, revolting, and upheaval. Christ is in control of everything. Christ possesses the same desire that Joseph had in our lives. He knows that if we're left to ourselves, we will bring our lives to ruin. But if we yield control of everything we have to him and his authority, he will bless us and use us beyond our wildest dreams. Are the areas of your life I mentioned under his control? Does he control your money? Does he control your possessions? Does he control your property? Does he control your person? And does he control your position? Has everything been brought under the control of the throne? Under the control of the throne. This is what I want us to see in this text, brothers and sisters. We are not our own, no part of us. In Joseph's dealing with the people, I see a few important principles for living that we must not pass up today. First of all, when the famine came to Egypt, it came to everyone. The poor, the rich, even royalty were all affected by the crisis of the moment. The same is true in this life. Every person is affected by crisis from time to time. Every person is controlled, affected by crisis from time to time. We have almost worn out the words of Job. Job 5, verse 7 tells us this: "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." That means there is crisis after crisis after crisis. Remember, you are either in a storm, coming out of the storm, or headed into a storm. That is our life in life. Job 14:1 tells us, "More man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. As I said, brothers and sisters, we will go from one crisis to the next crisis in this life. That is the reality of life. But somehow we think that that doesn't affect us. It's not, are you going to be in a crisis or are you going to be in hard times? But what are you going to do in those hard times? Christ told us in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But, notice, be of good cheer. We are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, patience in our lives. We have to realize that here we're going to go from one crisis to the next, all of us. Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes 2:17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. All of life is vanity, brothers and sisters. The only thing that is not vanity is Christ. For what has man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he laboreth under the sun? For all his days are sorrow, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Wherein he has labored under the sun, for all his days are sorrows. But brothers and sisters, yet with Christ, we can have joy. We can have peace during all of these trials and temptations and crises. Because crises cause us to rethink our purposes. When the crisis came to Egypt, the people were told to do one thing. Go unto Joseph. What he has said to you, do. And brothers and sisters, we are to go unto Christ. And we are to do what he says to do. The people in our text, from that moment, the people of Egypt had just one purpose. They had just one duty. They were to obey Joseph and do exactly what he said to do. Now, if that was done by the people of Egypt in the physical realm, how much more so are we to obey Christ and to do exactly what he tells us to do? Realize this. Sometimes it takes a crisis moment in our lives to remind us of our purpose in life. Sometimes we lose focus in life. We find ourselves doing things the Lord doesn't want us to do, going places he doesn't want us to go, and being someone that the Lord doesn't want us to be. If we're saved, our first and foremost duty is to do exactly what the Lord tells us to do. That is the sole purpose of our lives before the Lord. We're to be who he wants us to be. We're to go where he wants us to go. We're to do what he wants us to do. Our primary duty is to yield the totality of ourselves to him and allow him to use us as he sees fit. But we keep on kicking and screaming. We're like wild Broncos. We want to just run wild and do whatever we want to do. There's nothing, though, like crises to cause us to rethink our purpose in life. When you do, distill it all down to the bottom line. Our main duty is to be who Christ wants us to be. No one wants to come to the end of life and say, oh, I wish I had lived my life another way. I wish I had done something else with my life. What a tragic way to come to the end of your life. I wish I had lived my life another way. I wish I had done something else with my life. Brothers and sisters, what are you doing for your life? Are you living for Christ or are you living for yourself? Would it be said of you as it was said of the Ephesians in Revelation, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. How tragic. Whether we are in a crisis or not, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. What am I doing? What does God want me to do? Am I being responsible and obedient to Him? Crises cause us to reevaluate our priorities. When the crisis came to Egypt, suddenly, and keep this in mind, especially here in the West, don't think that a great crisis, if you think you've seen anything yet, you haven't seen nothing yet. When a crisis comes, things like money, possession, lands, and power mean nothing. What good is money when there's no food? What good are lands, power, and stuff when you're starving to death? These people wanted to survive, and they knew their possessions would not see them through. They needed help they could only get from Joseph. And brothers and sisters, we need help only from Christ. We only can get it from Christ. If you're a child of God, as people move through life, they sometimes focus on things that don't truly matter. And when that happens, they might just lose the things that really don't matter. They might just lose the things that really don't matter. People who put their jobs ahead of their families. People who put recreation ahead of their marriages. People who put their plans ahead of God's plans for their lives. People who live their lives to gratify their flesh and satisfy their wants with no regard for what God wants from them. A crisis has the power to cause us to rethink the things that are most important in life. When a crisis comes, you are reminded just how valuable your relationship with your spouse is. When a crisis comes, you are reminded just how important family is. When a crisis comes, you are reminded how valuable the people of God are. When a crisis comes, you're reminded of just how important your relationship with the Lord really is. Question is, why wait for a crisis? Look at your priorities today. Who really comes first? You or the Lord? What is your real priority in life? Is it yourself or is it others? Crises cause us to reestablish our own principles. You will notice that all the land of Egypt came under the authority of the throne, except for the lands that belonged to the priests. The priests were cared for by Pharaoh, and their needs were met by decree of the king. Joseph was unwilling to take over sacred things, but they were more important than the immediate crisis. When we're thrown into a crisis moment, we will learn what is truly sacred to us. We will find out what we can't live without. We will discover that many of the things that we love and cling to so tightly are vanity. When hard times come, we will find out what truly matters in our lives. What are the things that you would not be willing to give up under any circumstances? What is it that you won't sell? A crisis will reveal those things to you. You will hold on to those things that truly matter and gladly turn loose of the things that do not. You see, the crises of life do not make us, but they have the power to reveal. They have the power. Crises have the power to reveal what we are made of and what we value in life. You remember the story of the two houses in Matthew 7? The houses looked the same, and the storm did not change the houses. When the floods came, they merely revealed what the houses were standing on. If you built your life on the shifting sands of this world, the crisis will destroy your life. If you founded your life on the bedrock of God's Word and the Lord Jesus Christ, then the crisis will not take away the things that matter most. No matter what you may lose in a crisis, you will still have the things that matter to you. You will still have Christ. All of us have seen people shaken by the winds of adversity, assaulted by the waves of affliction. We have seen people lose much of what they had in this world. We have seen many of those same people come out of the crisis stronger than when they entered it. Why? Why? Because they built their house on the unchanging principles of God's Word, and they survived the storm. Others who had nothing but the changing principle of this world lost everything when the storms came. Why did Joseph thrive when others around him failed? Because he saw every moment in the life, in his life, as God's moment. He realized that God was at work in him and around him all the time. And everything he did, Joseph sought to honor the Lord. In good times, Joseph lived for the Lord. In hard times, Joseph lived for the Lord. Joseph understood that all of life, even the times of crisis, are part of God's plan. We must not forget that all things work together for good, for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. All things work together for good. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all things work together for good. Because God's causing all things to work together for good. Because in that verse I just quoted in Romans 8, the very next verse, tells us because we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, the Lord will take away from us whatever it is that is keeping us from being conformed into the image of Christ. He wants our priority to be Christ. He wants our purpose in life to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of Christ. And God will take away whatever it is that needs to be taken away, be it your possessions, be it your pocketbook, be it relationships, be it jobs, be it whatever you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank of anything that is keeping you from being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. For we are not our own. We have been purchased with a price. And that price is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, then He is not all to you. He is not Lord of all to you. And He has called you to come. Come ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, come to Him today. For there is a famine in the land. There is a famine in this world. And the famine is for Almighty God. If you've never come to the Lord, then you are one of the ones that are starving. You are the ones that have never come to Christ to find rest and peace. And He would say to you today, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let us remember verse 25 in our text today. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Thou hast saved our lives. And my friend, can you say that today? Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord. And He has said, you will find grace if you come to Him. And our response to that grace is, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. We will be the Lord's servants we will come under the authority of the throne.